Amused by this, Abbot Carroll tried to keep a straight face as he spoke to Sister Portula, who was recording the meeting.
Not a bad idea. Write it down, sister, and don't forget the bit about hot soapy water. We'll keep it in mind.
Sister Setiva, after wiping several noses and glaring the Dibbons into silence, held up a paw.
As soon as I've finished eating, I hope some of you will join me to search around for more things to use as weapons.
Martha was among those who volunteered, but Torn had other plans for her.
You'd never be able to search the attics upstairs, me beauty. We think you should be in charge of the Dibbons' safety. Seasons forbid that anything should happen to the Littlins with vermin camped next to our gates. Will you do it, Martha?
Immediately, the Hare Maid agreed.
I'd be glad to. Right, come on, you villains. Off that shelf and up to bed. Last one up washes all the pots and dishes. Eh, Grandmum Gervel?
Gervel picked up her big ladle.
You said the very thing I was about to say, Miss Marth.
An almighty scramble followed as Dibbons climbed down from the shelves and fled upstairs, squealing. Abbot Carroll waited until the noise subsided.
Next suggestion, please.
Badred lay awake down in the ditch, trying to ignore the stentorian snores of those around him. He longed for the dawn, when he could take possession of his magic sword. What did it look like? He imagined it as a solid gold blade with a cross hilt and grip crusted with rubies, pearls and emeralds. Of course, he would not mind too much if it were made from silver with jet stones and sapphires for adornment. Mentally, he went through a speech he had prepared for the woodland bumpkins who lived behind the wall. Badred silently practiced it, making sweeping paw movements to emphasise its drama.
Throw wide your gates! Tremble at my name, for I am Badred, commander of a vermin horde!
He paused here, wondering if his scruffy little band could constitute a horde. No matter. Those woodland oafs had probably never seen a horde, much less taken a head count of one. He continued his oratory.
You are looking at death! All of you! Unless you deliver unto Badred the magic sword that is rightfully his.
He questioned the last phrase. It needed something, a word or two, to prove that the sword's ownership was never in doubt. Ha! That was it. He embellished his flowery recitation thus.
Forgive not my father, Redblade, warlord of the Northern Mountains. Proclaim it so. Give unto my son, Badred, his sword. It lies within Warlord, Redwall. She's a mighty warrior. Goes the magic sword.
He flung out his paw and caught Half Chop a smack on the chin. The rat awoke, holding his chin in his good paw.
What did you do that for, Chief?
But Badred was too fired up to waste time with arguments.
Get fair along that ditch and see if you can make it so that you're level with the big gate.
Half Chop peered at him in the pre-dawn darkness.
What for?
Badred shoved him forward.
If you make it safely, give me a signal. I'll follow up with the rest of the crew. That way, we'll be in place when it gets light. Don't get the shock of the lives when you see me climb out of the ditch and demand a magic sword. Go on, don't hang about.
Blundering forward, Half Chop stepped on a thistle and banged into the ditch's sidewall.
It's no good. I can't see a thing. Why don't you wait till dawn?
Badred drew his cutlass.
Because I want it done now. There'll be one less in the crew from you stand there rubbing your chin and making excuses. Now get going!
Half Chop picked up a red-ended branch from the embers of a fire. He went off blowing it back to burning light and muttering,
All right then, but I ain't gone without a light.
Up on the northwest rampart corner, Brother Weld nudged Junty Sellerhog.
Is that zombies coming along the ditch carrying a light?
The burly hedgehog watched as a small burning beacon grew closer.
Aye, so tis, brother. I wager that's a vermin. Up to no good, I'll be bound. Better stop the rascal afore he sets fire to our front gate.
There was always a variety of things in Junty's big apron pockets. He dug a paw in and rummaged about. A slow smile lit up his heavy features as he produced a big barrel bung made from a knot he had gouged out of an oak log.
This should do.
Though ponderous and not given to quick flings, Junty was accurate and very powerful.